Well, we've been in a series called that we called An Honest Heart, and we're just going through the parable of the sower, and we're going to continue on that tonight. We'll be going for some time. We want to take our time and go through these things. Mark 4, verse 1, we're going to read it in NLT. It says, "Once again, Jesus began teaching by the lake shore. A very large crowd soon gathered around him, so he got into a boat. Then he sat in the boat while the people remained on the shore. He taught them by telling them many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seed. As he scattered it across his field, some of the seed fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate it. Other seed fell on shallow soil with underlying rot. The seed sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plant soon wilted under the hot sun, and since it didn't have deep roots, it died. Other seed fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants, so they produced no grain. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they sprouted, grew, and produced a crop that was 30, 60, even 100 times as much as had been planted. Then he said, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand." Let's skip down to verse 13. It says, "Then Jesus said to them, if you can't understand the meaning of this parable, how will you understand all the parables?" They had come and asked him, what does this mean? Verse 14, "The farmer plants seed by taking God's word to others. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message, only to have Satan come at once and take it away. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell among the thorns represents others who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life, the lure of wealth, and the desire for other things, so no fruit is produced. And the seed that fell on good soil represents those who hear and accept God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted." So we went over, just flew over this. We've talked about two of the types of soil. We've talked in general that it's Satan that is in all these areas. There are things that are going to try to steal the word. The word is the target. And it happens at different stages. We went over the first soil, which is on the wayside or the footpath, the seed that fell on those things represents the word that comes immediately. Satan steals it, and so it doesn't produce any fruit whatsoever. On the stony places, the hard ground, this represents the word that's sown, and people receive it, and they're glad about it, and it starts to take root, but then as soon as problems come because of the word, and they get pressure, they let go of it, and so they don't produce any fruit, and we talked about that last time. And then tonight, we're going to talk about the thorny ground, but we're going to break that up. We're going to talk about specifically the first part of it tonight. And that represents things pulling, choking out the word. The word sown, people receive it, but then for various reasons, the word's choked. And then finally, the last group, the last type of soil, which is what we want to be, because notice none of these other ones bore any fruit up to this point. The last type of the soil is the person that receives the word, and it produces fruit, and to varying degrees, but it produces fruit. And so it's up to us what type of soil we are. It's not up to God. The word was sown the same, but depending on the type of soil, that determined the type of results. But we determine what type of soil we are, what type of heart, and that's what type of heart we are. We determine our heart. It's God does not dictate that. And so that last group, Luke 8:15, it says, "The ones that fell on good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience." So we're going to get to that. But all these other areas are given for a reason, and we need to be aware of these things because this is what's going on all the time. The word is being sown. I mean, it's happening right now. The word of God is going forth, and then what we do with it is going to determine what it does in our life. Nobody else is going to determine that. God isn't going to determine it. God will help us, but we determine what type of heart we are, so what heart we have, so we're going to determine what the word produces in our life. And just, it's God's word. It's the same word. It's the incorruptible word of God, but it can be rendered void in our lives. So let's look at Mark 4:7. This is in the New King James. We're going to go over that third group. It says, some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. So some seed fell among thorns. So the thorns represent the things we're going to see here in a moment. The thorns grew up and it choked the word. But the word was sown, and the word, it started to grow. But then it was choked by something else that was there. And notice it did not yield any crop. No crop. So Mark 4:18-19, we'll read it again in the NLT. Explanation of that says, the seed that fell among the thorns represent others who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life, the lure of wealth, and the desire for other things, so no fruit is produced. We're going to read that in the New King James. It says, now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world. I like the way it says in the New King James, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Now tonight we're going to focus on the first part. It says, and the cares of this world. We're going to focus on that part. But all these are things that choke out the word. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desires for other things entering in, choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. Notice these things, they choke the word of God. Even though it's God's word, it's still choked. It's not that God's word was changed. It's that, again, it's the condition of our heart and what we allow in our life that can actually choke the word of God. So God is all-powerful, and He's sovereign. But in His sovereignty and in His power, He's omniscient, He knows everything. And His all-knowing, He gave us a free will. And if He gave us a free will, He's not taking it back. He's like, oh, no, that's stupid. Stop. I'm going to stop you from doing that. No, He's like, I gave it to you. What are you going to do with it? So He doesn't control everything. He does not control us. He doesn't dictate what we do. God did not determine what you ate for breakfast this morning. You guys silent on that? Or you think that He did? He did not. You know, you're reaching, going, I want peanut butter. I want to go make myself some eggs. I want some yogurt. He didn't say, thus saith the Lord, today thou shalt eat yogurt. He didn't make it. If He didn't make that decision for us, there's a whole lot of decisions He's not making. So what we let in determines what happens. Let's look at it and what results we get. Mark 4:19 in the Amplified, it says, but the worries and cares of the world, the distractions of this age with its worldly pleasures, and the deceitfulness and the false security and glamour of wealth or fame and the passionate desires for all other things. So again, we're focusing on the first part. These creep in and choke out the word and it becomes unfruitful. Look at the first part again, verse 19. The worries and the cares of this world. Now, Amplified is, these are comments. When you see it in brackets like that, think of it like this. It's like a commentary. That's not the Bible. Okay, I'm just saying this so you... The worries and cares of this world, that's the word of God. The brackets are basically somebody's commentary that's trying to bring it out. Now, sometimes in the Amplified, you see different nuances of the Greek words and all that. But when you see it in brackets, it's basically like a study Bible put in line. It's very efficient, but you can't quote that as scripture. You can quote it as, you know, it's something, but these are commentaries. But you compare scripture with scripture to determine if that's correct. So the worries and cares of the world, bringing this out, the distractions of this age with its worldly pleasures. Well, that tracks. I mean, the worries and cares, we're going to focus on that part, but also the distractions of this age, also with pleasures, but also everything. The cares of this world. We're going to focus on that some. The cares of this world, because you know this world isn't forever. This isn't the only thing. A lot of the world acts like this is it. This is all there is. And this, what we do is just, we're going to do this and that's it. It's not. There's a spiritual realm. This is not it. And if we act like this is it, then we're going to live our life. If we understand that this is it, we're going to live our lives accordingly. But if we understand that this isn't all there is, that this is, yes, this is a realm, it's real, but there's something more real. The spiritual realm created the natural realm. God existed before this natural realm. He spoke it into existence. So it was the spiritual realm, it exists, well, I'd say behind, but not behind. And it's there in parallel with the natural realm. And the spiritual realm affects this natural realm. There is spiritual things going on. There's more going on than just the natural things that we can sense with our natural senses. But go ahead and put up the Amplified again. The worries and cares of the world, the distractions of this age with its worldly pleasures, skip to the end, creep in and choke out the word. These things, because we read the other ones, but we're not focused on those. This is one of the things that creep in and it choke the word. So the cares of this world can choke out the word in our life. The cares of what's going on here, if we get so distracted by just the everything that's going on and the care of it can weigh us down to where we put aside the Word of God because we're so focused on this natural stuff. And we can be like that our whole life. It just keeps going. Life just keeps going. Didn't stop for anybody. And we can be distracted our whole life. Every day, I'll do it tomorrow. No, tomorrow comes, too busy. What are we busy with? Because you wake up, 10 years have passed. I was going to get to that. Wake up, 5 years have passed again. That's been 15 years. I was going to get to that. It just keeps going. And that will choke out what the focus, what God's word is truth. So if we're not focused on truth, then we're focused on something else. And it can take us down rabbit trails. It's insidious. Because you get going, you could be like, oh, I've been distracted. And you get back to where I'm centered up. I'm back. I'm resetting. And just as you're about to be like, yeah, I'm going to reset, it's like, well, what's that? Am I the only one that's ever done that? I mean, you could just say, you know, have you ever been studying for a test or doing a project and you're like, all right, I know I spent the last 30 minutes doing whatever. See, when I was going to school, we did not have social media. I literally did not have a cell phone. I mean, this is 92 to 96. They were around, but you didn't really want them. They didn't do anything. Got a tiny screen if they had that. I mean, nothing to play on. Internet was in its beginnings. You know, you might get on your computer or something, go down to, I mean, literally a computer lab. I was in the engineering college. We had a computer lab. We had to go use the internet. I didn't even have it at home at that point. I had it later. But, you know, there's still distractions. There's still stuff. You can still find stuff to do. We go down to the student union. Hey, you know, it's amazing how interesting everything looks when you got to focus on like a test that you don't, for a class you don't really care about. You know, somebody walks into the union. You know, the union was like wherever, kind of common area. They had fast food places, bunch of tables. They had games, you know, video games. They had billiards and stuff downstairs. Somebody walks by, you're trying to study, and somebody walks, hey, what you doing? Blah, blah, blah. Hey, you want to go down and play a game pool? Yeah, that sounds good. Let's go do that. You come up 45 minutes later, it's like, I'm locked in. And then somebody, you know, you're, and then something else happens, and then some of you see somebody, or you look up, or you do something else. Like I said, didn't have a phone to like distract me, but I'm not saying we were like that all the time, just using that example. I mean, I got good grades in school, so I didn't lock in. I'm just using that. Maybe you, some of you could relate, but you're ready to go, and then all of a sudden, another 45 minutes or whatever. Well, you know what? It's not just in times like that. It can be in life where you're like, man, I know I've been distracted with stuff. I'm getting back to what's important after I do this, such and such. And then you wake up from that, you know, you get going, and that takes the time, and then 2 weeks later. The thing is, if it just keeps stringing along like that, that's what you get going, but then other stuff chokes the word. You want, I'm going to read my Bible. This is one of the best things you can do. Read your Bible. It'll get in you. It'll change your life. But if we have the Word of God and we're putting it aside, putting it into us, but then we start doing something else and like, I didn't do it. Next day, didn't do it. That's choking. See, it's like this. It's starting. And the word's there, and you're like, nah, I got it, though. I'll get it tomorrow. But it's, I didn't get it the next day. And it's getting choked out to where you think, no, man, I won't go away from this. I got it. And it's just doing this to where all of a sudden you don't care. You're like, never mind. I'm not even trying. That's what happens. That's the choking. It's distracted by stuff. Let's look at it in the Amplified Classic. It says, then the cares, now this is the word sown, then the cares and anxieties of the world and the distractions of the age. Again, skip to the end. Creep in and choke and suffocate the word, and it becomes fruitless. It said the distractions of this age. Well, the cares and anxieties of the world, the distractions of this age, it's constantly moving. We get that this age means, you know, this world. We're going to look at that a little bit more, but this world, what we're dealing with in this world, things going on. But you could look at that, this, it's constantly changing what that looks like. And, you know, you may think, I may think, well, it was just so good. And 200 years ago, they didn't have any of the problems. They didn't have any of the distractions. It's just such a fast-paced life now. Wish I would have been there. Well, you might not have wanted the last several days. You know, there was no air conditioning. A lot of others, you know, a lot of other stuff, no electricity. There's not a lot of stuff that they didn't have. You think, well, I just wish it was like this. This was written thousands of years ago, what we're reading right here. Jesus walked the earth, and he's saying this could happen then in seemingly super slow society. And he said it can happen. Well, how now? Stuff is always, you know, you get phone, there's just, you get notifications of stuff, work's pulling on you. There isn't like, hey, that's at work. You got, if you're not careful, you got work in the palm of your hand and they can get a hold of you anytime. Anybody can, I mean, you can put it on silent, whatever, but there's just a lot of stuff. The world is moving so fast. You know, the world, there is always events in the world. It's just that we didn't find out about them immediately. You know, something happened and you read about it in the newspaper a little while later. I mean, literally, if you go 200 years ago, I mean, it took time for everything to pass. Now, something happens anywhere in the world, we can know about it as soon as somebody posts something, which can be, if they're there, instantaneous. Boom. Get a notification. This just happened. So everything has been compressed. That stuff that would come in like this, it's not just what happened in your town or what happened in your state that you would get a little bit later and what happened on the, you know, West Coast that would propagate a while and then what happened in the world that it took days. It's like everything now from not just certain sources, just from everything, depending on what we let in. So it's all there. But we don't have to let it all in. We determine that. We determine what we pay attention to. We determine what notifications we get. We determine what pages we visit. We determine whose calls we take. And we determine what effect those things have in our life. Just because they're there is like, I can't help it. No, we can help it. And a lot of it has to do, how much are we ingesting of other things? How much are we ingesting of the word that when something else comes in, that it's offsetting it? If there's no word, that if there's no word of God, if there's no presence of God, then when things come in, it's going to affect us differently. It's going to come in, hit us, knock us sideways, because there's nothing to counter it any more than anybody else in the world that's not a Christian. And so if that's the status quo, if those things are coming in and there is no word, you could see how the little word that we had, if we're not guarding it, if we're not letting it grow, if we're not pushing things out, the cares of this world can choke that out to where we are just bobbing around, you know, like on the high seas, just with whatever happens. And the word is choked. But that's up to us. This isn't a condemnation thing. This is just the reality that nothing will stop it other than us. If we want the word, we're talking about the word producing fruit in our lives. The only way that'll happen is by us stopping some of this thing, the things in the world, so that the word can take root. Now remember, the parable is talking about the word being planted. It's in thorny ground. The thorns represent these other things. And one of the thorns is the cares of this world. Well, we've got to get the thorns out. Otherwise, they will choke the word. In this case, we got to keep it out. Because the care of this world, the noise We'll push out the things that are truly important. Let's look at Luke 21:34. It's not talking about Jesus saying this in another area. It says, take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and this is the part, the cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. Take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down, let's skip to that part, with the cares of this life. Jesus is saying, take heed to yourself, otherwise the cares of this life, that can weigh you down. Anybody ever felt, you don't have to raise your hand, anybody ever felt the cares of this life weighing you down? We all have. Look at it in the Amplified Classic. It says, but take heed to yourselves and be on guard. Be on your guard, lest your hearts be overburdened and depressed, weighed down with the giddiness and headache and nausea of self-indulgence and drunkenness, this part, and worldly worries and cares pertaining to the business of this life. Just normal stuff can weigh you down. can weigh me down. The grind of just going through life, the cares of this life, the things you deal with, the things I deal with, can weigh our hearts down to where even though God's word, it's divine, it's the word of God, can be choked by that, can be pushed to where we're so weighed down that we can't, the word of God, even though it's the word, it can't produce fruit. But Jesus said, be on guard. We're talking about this parable. Jesus is literally telling us how to get the word of God to produce in our life. And he is giving us a roadmap. This is what's going to happen. It's going to come, and if it gets taken immediately, that's Satan's first line of attack, and he gets it out. Secondly, people receive it, but as soon as there's pressure because of that word, they don't have any root, and they let it go. Thirdly, all these things are going to be vying for your attention, and he's saying, this will come. And here, in a different context, but it applies, he's saying, be on guard. In other words, he's telling us where these things are going to come. And here's one of them. The cares of all this world will attempt to weigh you down and choke. If Jesus is speaking, he could say my word. He could say me, because he is the living word. And he is speaking the word right now. He could say, it will choke me out. It will choke the word. Choke Jesus out? I didn't say it. He said it. The word of God coming in, he is telling us, you be on guard for these things because they will choke the word. And they do choke the word. And I'm sure we could all think of instances of people we know where we saw the word of God being choked in their life. That's not the issue. That is an issue. But what we need to be concerned of is, is it choking the word in my life? What am I doing? It doesn't do me any good to point finger at somebody else and go, well, that was choked out in their life. The question is for me, because I can't do anything about somebody else, what I can say is it choking me? And is it happening like this? You can't see it, but it's getting choked, because here's the thing. These things will creep up on you. The cares of this life can creep up on you. It's being choked. And the word of God, I'm sure it can be choked quick. I mean, somebody tries to get a hold of the word. They're trying to read the Bible, and then their old habits just, you know, they're just so distracted, and then they don't do anything. But it also can be we have a habit, but it starts, something else starts to pull us away. We'll talk about that in general later, but the cares of this world, in other words, I have so much going on, I can't right now, but I will. I can't do it now. The minute that happens, now don't get legalistic about it, the minute that happens, that's like a tiny crack in the dam. And if we don't step back and patch it, in other words, we got to get back and maintain, because it's so easy. You know it as well as I do. That can become, well, I didn't do it again today. I know I'm just letting, but I'm busy. I mean, this is going on. Yep. And it's not about gold stars or feeling good. It is about fruit and something being choked. And it doesn't matter my intention. It just means this is happening. And then I've got to be on guard, because I go, wait a minute. I see what's happening. No, that's not more important, because if I let that happen, I know where this leads. I do know where it leads. Jesus told me where it leads. And that's what happens in the world all the time. It's this, the things of God, on one end, God told us in His Word what He wants us, what He's revealed to us, and what we need to function. And on one instance, God is unsearchable. I mean, He's infinite. But on the other hand, He has given us what we need to know, and we can, anything we do know in His Word, then we know how He functions. We know the truth. So we can't just say, well, I just don't know. In one sense, these things are not difficult. Now, God is infinite, but this thing, you can just watch it happen in slow motion. And you know what? It's really easy to see in somebody else's life. Not so easy sometimes to see it in our own life. But you can watch it. And it's like, you're just like, well, there it goes. You can just see it. Unless something changes, this is where that's headed. But you know what? Some form of everything we're talking about is happening in everybody's life right now. Every one of us, everybody on the planet, is in some place in these things we're talking about. Some part of it's going on, but these things are always vying for us. They're always, the cares of this world are always there vying. The distractions, they're always there vying for your attention, for my attention, and they will never stop. They won't take a break. We have to say, I got to change the input here, because if this keeps coming in, if I keep going back, if I keep looking at this, I know what that's producing. So I got to stop that loop. I got to stop that. So if I cut it out and I get silence, if I get some focus, I'm talking about in the Word. You can be focused, but still, you're not. Your spirit isn't quiet because you're looking at all these things. One question to ask ourselves when stuff's pressing in, because there's so much noise, there's so much pressure, there's anxiety, the anxiety in the world, the care of the world. The world attempts to put it on you and me. The things we read about generally are negative. Somebody's stressed about something. You could read about the same event. Somebody reports it a certain way. You read it about it. Somebody else reports it, and it's like, good night. That's what happened. That's horrible. But really, it was just this thing. But it's things are meant to get an emotional response out of us, and constantly that anxiety that somebody else that isn't looking at the Word of God, that doesn't have a relationship with God, the anxiety and the care that they feel will try to get on you and me. It'll try to inject into our life, but we've got to stop that. The only way to stop it is to put up a wall and do something with the noise. But one thing, when it's pressing in, and there is a lot of pressure, a lot of noise. One question to ask is, what in my present circumstance is going to be important in 10 years, 20 years, 30 years from now, or at the end of my life? I'm going through something. I don't even have to stop very long. Especially when you're under pressure and things are trying to push and try to take you away. Stopping and going, what if this is going to matter in 10 years, in 30 years, at the end of my life, when I'm in the presence of God? What of what I feel like is pushing me and trying to pull me away, what is actually going to matter? That can sometimes crystallize what's actually going on. Wait a minute, I'm getting pulled off from this because of this thing that I might not even remember in 5 years. I don't know why I got pulled off, but I know I don't want to get pulled off over here. You see, if I don't do things like that, I will just get pushed. I'll get driven. The cares of this life are constantly, if we get this coming out of tonight, that there are things that are trying to pull, the cares of this life are actively trying to choke the Word in my life. That is happening. Jesus said it would happen if we're not on guard, He was talking about that in a different context, but it applies that your heart can be weighed down with the cares of this life. So if we stop, though, that can cut through the noise, the pressure, allow us to focus on what is truly going on. Because the things of this world, they're transient. They're transient. They're passing quickly in and out of existence. And things can feel like they're not transient. You ever had something that feels like, I don't know how I'm going to get to the other side of this? And then that's in your rearview mirror, and you realize, well, there was something on the other side of that. But at the time, it didn't feel transient. It didn't feel like it was here and then out. It felt like it's here to stay. But this whole life is transient. Look at 2 Corinthians. We got to have this perspective. If we have this perspective, it'll back up into our life, into our daily life, what we do, and then we can actually make decisions that are actually going to stand for the test for all time. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18. It says, therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing. That means your body's getting older, the outward man. Yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The things that we see. This stuff is temporary. Yeah. Our bodies, this body is temporary. I don't care if it gets to be 100 years old, it's still temporary. But the things that are not seen, God, the spiritual realm, they're eternal. So that's where we've got to calibrate to, is this eternal? Am I being pulled away by things that are temporary? Look at this in verse 18 in the RSV. It says, because we look not at the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. The things that are seen, they're temporary, they're transient, they're moving, they ebb, they flow. We see it all the time. So-and-so was with us. So-and-so just passed on. They might have been very well known in the world, but that's it. The world state is transient, constantly. Two people a second are leaving this earth. So the state of the world is constantly changing. It doesn't, just from second to second, there aren't even the same people on the planet. And there's new people being born every second. The whole scope of the world is changing every moment. So there's nothing, it may look sort of stable, but we know this is not stable. If there's something that we've learned in the last several years, there's a whole lot of things that look stable that are not stable. They never were stable. They may have a more degree of stability, but the eternal is stable. God is a rock. He doesn't change even that much, ever. So if we get the cares of this life, the cares of this transient, temporary things that we see push us off of the things that are eternal or that have eternal value, we've missed it. And the Word of God, which is truth, which is eternal, that is trying to produce, or that the purpose is to produce in us eternal value in our behavior, in our thoughts, in our character, in our actions here on this earth, that we take whatever is transient and temporary on this earth, but we use it for eternal things. The Word of God is trying to produce that in us. The Word of God that we receive and bear fruit will have eternal value. You will never turn loose of it. The Word of God that we learn and grow in, it's not like it's going to be flushed when we go to the other side. We are just getting started. We will live for all time. We will be learning for all time. Things that we internalize and grow here on the earth will just carry on this next realm. We're not going to be just sitting on clouds doing nothing. We're just babies in eternity. On the scheme of the eternal, you and I are just babies. God's been around forever. There's spiritual beings that have been around for we don't know how long. And so there is a spiritual realm where there are beings that have been around for at least millennia, looking at you and I and going, watch this. I'm talking about evil spiritual beings. We are so green and so new apart from the Word of God that they have been doing this to human beings for thousands of years. They can just like as easy as you can manipulate a little child, a baby. No problem whatsoever. You can tap them over here and they're like, they had never seen that before. They don't even know what you're doing. Well, as easy as you could do that, there are spiritual beings in the eternal realm for evil that know how to manipulate humans and just go, watch, I'll just introduce this into them. And they're like, mm-hmm. And they're like, see, so easy. It's easier than you with a baby. They've been around. Then there's angelic beings that have been around and seen humans on this earth. And when they see humans that actually obey the Word of God and listen to the Word of God, now they have something to work with. They've seen people come and go. It's like, all right, this one is valuing something real. You realize we all have an angel. The Bible says their angel is their children. Their angel is always before me. Well, there's nothing in the Bible that says your angel, you stopped having an angel. That's not violating the Word of God. The Word of God doesn't say we specifically do. Imagine your angel watching us, and if we're like distracted with something going, they're like, what? Really? You're gonna let that distract you? Okay. It's my job to follow you. Okay, we're gonna do this for 3 years? All right. I'm doing best I can, but you're not giving me anything to work with. You're just out of the game. Oh, they woke up. They're actually listening to God. They're obeying. Okay, now I have something to do. Put me to work. Believe the Word of God. Do what He's called you to do. Now that's all going on. But people on this earth are like, oh, this is all there is. And there's this whole realm that knows the truth. How are we going to know the truth? The Word of God. And that Word of God, as it comes in, if we'll let it take root in us, if we'll look to it and believe it and trust it and block the other stuff out, now we'll be living on the eternal path. We'll be growing in truth. Let me give you a few more scriptures on this as we close. I just want to sew it up because we're going to be going on something else next week. 1 John 2:16, it says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of this world." The world, and the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Verse 17 in the NLT says, "This world is fading away, along with everything that people crave, but anyone who does what pleases God will live forever." Everybody's going to live forever. We're going to live with God, but the things that you do that are for the eternal are going to be remembered. The apostles, Moses, Abraham, that walked on the earth, Noah, they will be remembered forever. They believed God. They trusted God. And we can be following God in the same way, and those things will live forever. Philippians 3:20, we'll close with this. It says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Our citizenship is in heaven. So we're here, regardless of what country we may have citizenship with. We are, our actual citizenship as Christians is in heaven. It's not of this realm. It's in the spiritual realm, and we're just here for a short period of time. So as the Word of God comes into our life, we need to make sure the things of this world, which transient, temporary, that nature that fades away, does not distract us from the things that are eternal, that we'll look back and go, oh, so glad I listened to that. So glad I put that into practice. Amen.